Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. We are doing the running back rundown for week five preparation here. So some stuff here I think that's interesting to look at. San Francisco, listen, I don't know. I think the answer is Sermon. Mitchell was out this past week, so we don't get a full look. Like, I think we'll get a full look. And one of the things that's really shown up when Shanahan has had a preferred guy, he has shown the preference. Right? And so this was the classic Mostert, you know, there was hey, maybe, you know, maybe this person's taking over for Mostert. Like, Mostert would come back. Mostert would be the starter. I think we will know. I have a feeling that we will know about this. As when Mitchell comes back, I think we'll have an idea. I will note that Sermon has performed above expectation, so has Mitchell. Mitchell has been a little bit worse than Sermon in that. It's not a huge difference, but it is a difference. So I would say, you know, after a rough start, I think Sermon has played well enough. Minimal passing game involvement, however. That's the one thing with this. I mentioned this in snap reactions. There is very little passing game involvement out of this backfield. So that is absolutely 100% a concern. All right, New Orleans. And this is a Tony Jones injury. There wasn't a clear there is not a clear answer to this. They have not made a transaction yet. I think there's a couple of potential answers. I think first and foremost, they have Dwayne Washington on the depth chart. I think that's a potential answer. They have Ty Montgomery on the depth chart. That is also a potential answer. I will note that there's a quote from Sean McVay discussing why basically Kamara wasn't used more in the passing game. He basically, and sort of paraphrasing here, he said when there's a healthy backup, Kamara can play in three and four wides. When there's not, he's reluctant to do that. So once Jones came out of the game, they kind of had to go a different direction. So, I mean, I think if this is just as simple as, hey, we're gonna play Montgomery at the running back position, we're going to sort of be prepared for that. And we're going to have Dwayne Washington ready to go, and we're just going to sort of be prepared for that as well. You have that time to sort of prepare for those contingencies. I think that this could be a natural thing that actually works. I'm not sure yet on that, and we actually haven't even seen an official news. I mean, I'm recording this on Tuesday, so we haven't even been seeing official news on what the deal with Tony Jones Jr. is. So I'm still sort of waiting on that. I'm not making a drastic move. Dwayne Washington, only person on the active roster that is a running back. Ty Montgomery is listed as a wide receiver. Again, we know that he can play running back if they so chose. You know, that's basically it. They don't even have anyone on their practice squad at present who is a running back. So that would have to be a street signing, it appears, at this point. So I assume that means that Ty Montgomery is the emergency guy. That is what my assumption is, that he's basically the running back four. That's what I'm assuming. So we'll see. I think Dwayne Washington probably warrants an ad. And so that would be sort of the recommendation. It would be a cheap one. Again, I think he's probably in a starter in a game that he starts. Maybe he's like a, you know, I don't know, running back 24 or something like that. I don't think he's particularly high end, but I think that he probably warrants an addition this week. And then if you're in deeper leagues and Montgomery's not, you know, if we're talking 35 plus man and Montgomery's not available, like, I think that's probably the scenario where you scoop him up. Okay. Dallas, Zeke and Pollard. It's pretty clear to me that it's Zeke over Pollard still. Again, it's like I was just perusing the snap share, 75% for Zeke, 31% for Pollard. Pretty much tells you the story there. Zeke, top six guy, I think, going forward. Minnesota, it's Cook, it's Madison. Not much mystery there. Daryl Henderson, 90% snap share for the Rams. Sony Michel basically mop-up duty. He did fumble, so that might have had something to do with it. But even before then, he was pretty substantially ahead. It was like he played 84% in the first few drives before Michel fumbled. Then it was basically Henderson exclusively. So I think we have a pretty good take on that. And I was looking at some of the advanced stats. PFF was sort of referencing Daryl Henderson really tracking in a good way too. So maybe a potential buy-low candidate at present. Chubb and Hunt, it's we kind of know what the story there is. There is not a ton of mystery. They are, they're both high level guys. It's a really run heavy offense. Hunt played a little bit more than Chubb this past week, but it's been Chubb ahead of Hunt, and Hunt leads them in receiving yards. So I think that's the interesting thing, that Hunt is actually their leading receiver in terms of both yards and in terms of receptions as well. All right, Green Bay, and you had Dillon was actually up to 40% snap share this week. I think that had plenty to do with the game script. So they were just salting away a lot of the game with him. So he did see some extended work. So that's good to see there. Again, it's a pretty clear 1-2 situation, not a ton of mystery. Clyde Edwards-Helaire plays well for Kansas City. Again, like to see that second 100-yard game in a row. I think that this could be, I've joked about this, and hey, just come ahead and run at us. Just keep, it's like the boxers. It's just like, keep jabbing me. That's kind of what defenses are going to try and do to Kansas City and sort of baiting them into Clyde Edwards-Helaire 22 rush game. Like, that's what they're trying to do. The Chargers, the Bills last year, and that miserable, I think it was like a Wednesday night game, Wednesday or maybe Tuesday night game, whatever that miserable rainstorm was in Buffalo when they had that 162-yard game out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, that's what they're trying to do to this offense. And I think Edwards-Helaire, like, he's performing better. He's actually back at expectation compared to being struggling out of the gate. So I think he's right of the ship a little bit. Again, I think if you could potentially get him for the cost of like a running back 20 type scenario, I think that's fine. Like, if you had to add a little bit to go from David Montgomery to him right now to sort of just collect the weeks, like, I would probably do that. That would sort of be a pivot that I would look to make, something like that, I think is interesting. Tampa, I mean, I think on the way, and by the way, Kansas City, Daryl Henderson, Daryl Williams, still the one injury away guy. Tampa, I think that the story has been very clear. I think it's entirely decipherable. When someone is hurt that's not Leonard Fournette benefits. And so whether that's Giovanni Bernard on the passing-centric side of it or Ronald Jones on the rushing side of it, Fournette is perfectly sort of situated. I think Fournette is situated ahead of Jones as is. And then when you sort of get all that gap of the passing game stuff, it's Fournette taking over the Geo role instead of anyone else. So I think he's a really interesting one as we sort of look forward here. I am interested in sort of watching his progression, and I think that he's one. He's probably going to need to be near lineups and stuff, especially. Listen, they don't run the ball a lot down at the red zone, but I think he's just going to be. It's going to be kind of grungy volume from an overall, like, even in the receiving game and stuff like that. He's just going to be enough volume where he sort of produces running back 2 weeks. I think he'll be fine, and he can pop off if they ever tilt a little bit towards the rushing game. I mean, they're one of the more passing-centric offenses in the NFL. I think it's like top three. If they ever tilt a little bit, even in the red zone or anything like that, towards the rushing game, there's a lot of work there for Fournette. Derrick Henry is obviously the lead back in Tennessee. Jeremy McNichols has a huge amount of passing game volume. I don't know if that matters really for anything other than, hey, if he's an injury away guy, like, that could be really interesting. We're watching for Terrington Evans coming back. We'll sort of see how that ultimately unfolds. But I think McNichols has absolutely played himself into the one injury away guy role. And we'll see if Darrington Evans, if it becomes a split where they potentially try and work Evans into some of that receiving role that McNichols has taken over. But again, McNichols has done it pretty well. And I think that that's just assuming that that's going to happen is probably a lot. So I'm holding McNichols here until we know otherwise, right? If for some reason Henry goes down and we find out that it's going to be Evans that starts instead of McNichols, like, then we'll adjust. But I am assuming as of right now that even at the point that Darrington Evans returns, that it's going to be the McNichols job because he has some standalone value. and receiving, not in the sense of he's going to start for you or be a flex viable or anything like that right now, but I do think he has shown that he has that ability. So I'm going to sort of stick there with that. All right, Atlanta, it's Mike Davis, it's Cordarrelle Patterson, Wayne Gallman playing a little bit, but I do think it's Patterson ahead of Gallman at this point. Gallman's been active, not active. You know, it's been sort of in and out here. Davis is performing a little bit under expectation, but again, it's still like a top. When you look at the numbers, it's like a top 14, top 15 type role in that offense. In terms of projected scoring, Pro Football Focus does a expected points model, and Davis is up there in the, you know, the running back one, running back two fringe in terms of his role. He's underperformed it a little bit so far, but I do think that speaks to a lot of that's just like some just narrow touchdown stuff. Whereas if you just had kicked, you know, fell in for a touchdown, you would be above or below expectation depending on where you are. So that's it with Davis. I actually expect some additional work here forthcoming for him. New England is just a total disaster. They can't run the ball. Damian Harris has just been a total disappointment. Brandon Bolden's playing in the passing game. It's ahead of J.J. Taylor. J.J. Taylor fumbled. Ramondre Stevenson, we'll sort of see there. I don't have any confidence in this position at all right now at present, and I think that you have to be patient on this in terms of, like, I'm not cutting Damian Harris, but I'm looking for any other option I can. Like, give me Fournette over Damian Harris right now. In terms of guys that might be on your roster, give me Mike Davis over Damian Harris right now, right? Give me those guys pretty clearly there over Damian Harris. Josh Jacobs played, and this was a weird one because I went back and I checked my notes, and I remember saying Saturday night, like, hey, this is absolutely a recommendation to play him in terms of, like, I think he's going to be active on Monday night. It's what the practice report said. It's what the Dr. Gene said at Football Guys. It was pretty evident in terms of, like, the patterns and stuff, like, hey, he's probably going to be playing. But it was Monday night, so we didn't know. And then Sunday, it comes out that he wasn't going to play. You know, they were on the very doubtful side of doubtful or whatever, some quote like that from a local beat guy. And it was a couple different reports. So I said, you know, play Peyton Barber. You know, I think that's the deal. Like, I don't think Jacobs is going to play. So Peyton Barber's probably, you know, lineup consideration RB2 type, you know, the same way it was the week before. And then, of course, Jacobs plays. So I got stuck in like one spot, which it didn't matter for me. I've talked about this team. It's a home league that's rebuilding, and I'm putting an honest effort into winning. But the fact that Peyton Barber took like a zero didn't really break my heart all that much as I'm shooting for a high pick. So I think that was the only place I got burned. And he was probably close enough that we had other options anyways, but it was weird, or that we had him hedged with Jacobs, right? I mean, that was a thing too. So, Jacobs here comes back again. It's like 62% snap rate. So, feeling confident about him. And again, I think that it's pretty clear what the running back situation is with the Raiders. It is Jacobs when healthy, and then it's Drake in the receiving role, and it's Barber in the rushing role. All right, going back here to Indianapolis, next up here. I have no idea what they're doing in terms of... So they've talked about trading Marlon Mack. So he was inactive in week three, basically doing kind of like the basketball, oh, we're going to hold you out type deal. So they do that in week three. And then in week four, he's active and playing 31% of the snaps. So I recommended picking up Jordan Wilkins earlier on. I don't know what to do. I think the clearest answer is just pivot off of that share for right now. Like, we can work our way back to it. I think that there's other ways to go about the position right now, and you can use that Wilkins spot on other potential players. All right, now pivoting to Baltimore, and Tyson Williams was an inactive, which is just very surprising given how well he performed. I mean, he's one of the leaders among expectation, and just I was really surprised that they made this pivot to Latavius Murray. Latavius Murray actually had the best grade of his career last year, so I broke this down to snap reactions. Go ahead and check that out, but he actually played pretty well. It's Bell after him, Freeman after him. It's basically like a 60-30-10 type of breakdown there for Baltimore, with Murray being the lead guy. So he was 62-27 for Bell, and then 8% for Freeman. So I think the key watch will be Tyson Williams. If Tyson Williams is inactive, I think that's probably a full go in any week for Latavius Murray. That would sort of be my initial thought, probably on like a running back 2-3 flex role, that type of scenario. So that would just sort of be the catalyst, if you will, like the decision making process would be, if no Tyson Williams, then you probably feel good in the next week with Latavius Murray. So again, watching those starts at inactive 90 minutes before roster deadlines there, in terms of the active roster, it's going to be key with the Baltimore situation. Detroit, and it's DeAndre Swift. He's actually up to running back 2 in DLF's new ADP, which is, I put out a tweet, and it was funny because I was like, all offseason, I was like, hey, which one of the guys in this class, and this was pre everyone getting injured, was like, which one of those guys in that class in the second round, so Taylor, Swift, Dobbins, or Akers, has the highest upside? Like, if you were to tell me that one of them is going to finish as running back 1. Overall in a season, like the running back 1, who is it going to be? And it was consistently Swift being the third guy. And I was just like, that makes zero sense. I was like, all the volume in the world is going to go to him. And all we heard about was how bad the situation was. Well, now the situation is actually pretty good in terms of scoring, and he's underproducing it. Again, that is not a knock on DeAndre Swift. I'm not taking a shot at him, but I do think it's interesting how quickly our narratives change and some of the advice that you'll hear sort of changes, right? So I like the situation because I said, listen, he's got a huge target to shoot at. So even if he's good or even if he's bad, either way, he's got a really good opportunity to sort of hit in the fairway, if you will, of being relevant. And so that's what he's doing. And so that's it's a bad situation thing never made much sense. But it's the exact opposite of the Clyde Edwards-Helaire situation is really good. It's the same people that were telling you that probably. So and Jamal Williams, I think, is still a really high-value injury-away guy. So I think that is this is a pretty lucrative situation, as wild and crazy as that might seem at present, considering where we came from. All right, Arizona, Chase Edmonds, really high-value player right now. He's playing at he's basically up at 67% of snaps. He's getting a ton of work share, and he's the receiving guy too. So he's leading in rushing and smashing in receiving. Broke this down to snap reactions a bit. I'm pretty bullish on him going forward. James Conner is the injury away guy. And I'm still interested to see. I think Edmonds could play himself into a starter role, but we'll see for 2022. Chuba Hubbard is split some with Royce Freeman. So it was Chuba Hubbard, 47% snap share, 17 for Royce Freeman. Rodney Smith played 37%. He did a lot of the third down and hurry up stuff in the offense. So if that is going to be the situation, Hubbard's kind of capped. So I would put him on like the low end running back 2 flex consideration at present until we see an uptick in the in the role. We need him to be up 60-70% type role, and that just isn't what's happening now. So that would sort of be the situation at present. Denver, it's an even split. Either one of the guys goes down, the other one's going to be a running back 1 type consideration. No surprise there. Williams is going to be a starter. I think it's a pretty good situation altogether. Saquon Barkley is trending back. I mean, he's actually performed pretty well. I don't know what the situation is with the backups. So I still think it's probably, even though Booker was out, I still think that if Barkley were to go down, that Booker would get the next shot the next week. I don't know. I don't know if there's a ton of confidence in that. So I have him in the low confidence role altogether. And it's probably some smorgasbord of him and Elijah Penny and Gary Brightwell. Again, I would move I think there's other places to potentially pivot this week off of some of those guys. So I'll probably be doing those sorts of moves. One place where you can pivot, Khalil Herbert will be the backup to Damian Williams here. It looks like Monty's going to be out a month or so with a sprained knee. So Damian Williams is going to get a crack here. He has some sort of contusion, I believe. It's on a quad. Looks like he should be good to go. It's like a day-to-day type thing. And Khalil Herbert will be the one injury away guy to him. As we watch here going forward on Montgomery. So I think Damian Williams probably going to be in like the running back two flex type role consideration at present, and will be valuable as buys start to come up here in the next couple weeks or so. Joe Mixon, his status is not entirely known. So Cincinnati is not particularly good at being forthright about their injury situations. So we're going to have to watch. And again, I'm recording this on Tuesday afternoon, so we haven't gotten the benefit of Wednesday practices. But here's the deal with Mixon. If he does not practice on Thursday, be pretty skeptical. So he will have had a full week from that ankle injury to sort of recover and all that stuff because it was a Thursday night game. And if he doesn't by that point, then we should be pretty prepared. We should be really thinking about getting him out of lineups. So I think that's the thing to think about there. P. Ryan's going to be the key guy. Last week it was 69% Mixon, very nice. 28% P. Ryan, 3% Evans. So again, I think that kind of gives you the inclination. I think P. Ryan's probably going to be, it's a lower volume situation, I think. But it is a, I think he's going to be maybe on that running back two flex consideration radar, you know, depending on your game totals, your game lines, and all that stuff. I think that those will all be considerations. For instance, Cincinnati's going to be home this week, but they're home in a high total game against Green Bay. So we'll see there how that ultimately goes. That could actually be a low-scoring game in terms of both of their paces of play are pretty slow. So be interested to watch that. Okay, so next up is we'll see midweek here on Mixon. Next up, Najee Harris in Cincinnati, in Pittsburgh. A ton of volume in terms of the passing game. Feel really good about him. Don't know. I think it's probably Snell. Then you got Balazs McFarland back there behind them. I'm not really sure. I feel great about whoever that's going to be in any event that Harris is out. So that's the same story. Kenneth Gainwell is actually playing pretty well. If you can flip him for a second, I would. And just sort of collect it and move on. Open up a roster spot, get your profit, and move on. I'm not sure that that's going to happen, but he is sort of eating into some of Miles Sanders' two-minute work, for example. So I think that's something to note. Again, I don't feel confident. For example, I might even feel, depending on where the game is and the opponent and that sort of stuff. Like, I might feel better about starting Pirine than Sanders at this point, which seems insane to say, but that's kind of where we're at. So I'd be cautious on Sanders. I feel really good about it. Chris Carson took a backseat to Alex Collins this past week. So Alex Collins going up, right? I've had him and Dallas and Homer and sort of a trio here just because I don't think we have a good idea about it. Collins, I think, has separated himself somewhat into being the running back two. He played 17 snaps in the second half to 11 for Carson last week. I don't think this is a scenario of him taking Carson's job. I do think it's a scenario of just a hot hand and Collins sort of struck. The offensive coordinator did talk about that in the press since the game. Just basically like, hey, it was sort of feeling, it was what was feeling right, so we just kept rolling with it, and you saw a big workload out of college. So I think it's something to monitor. It's not going to scare me out of starting Carson or anything like that, but I think we maybe should monitor Carson's cost if he comes down to being, somewhere between 25 and 30 running back costs. I think that's an interesting one for sure. James Robinson, the starter in Jacksonville. I did move Carlos Hyde back. I think Carlos Hyde's the injury away guy. I did pick up a nugget that it looks like that Hyde had some shoulder discomfort, and that's why he was out last week. So I don't think there's anything to really be super concerned about. The Jets is a wasteland. Michael Carter's playing a little bit more, but I don't have a good feeling there. Same with Houston. David Johnson playing a ton because they were behind in the passing game and that sort of stuff against the Bills. They just got trounced. But I don't have a ton of confidence there. Miami, I still have Miles Gaskin as the leader, but it looks like Malcolm Brown is starting to take over that job. So, again, I have zero confidence there. Devin Singletary and Zach Moss, it's been like 55-45 the past couple of weeks in favor of Moss, actually. I think that could have been very specifically game plan and game script dependent. So I'm not making a move yet in terms of the depth chart, but I do think that is something to potentially watch for here in the coming week. In a game like this where he's going to go, where Buffalo's going to go on the road and be an underdog, I don't think it's a Moss game. But if they're going to be home favorites, I think it might be a Moss game here coming up. I think that might be towards where we're trending. Austin Eckler, so we got Monday night. He went off. It's awesome to see. I love that guy. I think it is Larry Roundtree ahead of Justin Jackson. So we saw that on the season so far, 63.5% snap share for Eckler, 22.2% for Roundtree, 15.4% for Justin Jackson. So again, if you sort of extrapolate that out, it is not a huge role for Roundtree, even if Jackson or even if Eckler went down, there's probably going to be a split there. I do think Joshua Kelly is a distant third in that competition there, and he, you know, maybe he'll be active or something, but playing, you know, a reserve role if something were to happen to Eckler. But wheels up on Eckler, dude's awesome. All right, and last but not least, the Washington football team, and it's Antonio Gibson, it's Patterson. I think is the injury away guy. I think McKissick is more the passing centric guy. I think if Gibson goes down, I think you've got problems and concerns. I still wonder what the ultimate upside on Gibson's going to be. We'll see there with that. But I'm hopeful that he gets some more passing game work. And they funnel a decent chunk of their passing game through their running backs. And that might even go up now if Logan Thomas is going to be injured. So we'll be watching for that. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.